At Alberta Baptist Church, we are a church with vision. We're a church with vision. And when we say that, I need you to understand that our vision is not one that we just made up, that we just came up with on our own. It wasn't craftiness or anything such as that. It was us taking God's word and looking from Genesis to maps and asking the question, what is it that God desires for us as a body of believers? What does God desire for us as individuals? What does he desire for us as a church? And so what we are given you with our vision statement is what we believe is the big picture of what God is calling us to as a church and what he's calling you to as an individual. And so our vision is this, and it's something that I believe that God wants for us, and I believe it's something that God wants from us. And so let me explain what I mean by that. God wants for you that you would know God, that you would find community, and that you would live on mission. And I'll say it a different way, and maybe it'll bring clarity to your minds. We want you to know God. We want you to know God's people, and we want you to know God's purposes for your life. That's for everybody in this room. So if you came in here today and you are not a Christian, you have never believed on Christ as your Savior, the vision that we have here is still for you. We want you to know God, find community, and live on mission. But for all of us who are in Christ in this room, there is a second part of this, and it's what God wants from us. And God desires us to help other people to know God, find community, and live on mission. He wants us to help other people come to know God by them following Jesus, to know his people by connecting to his church and discover God's purposes for their life as we help them live on mission with Jesus Christ. And of course, in light of the Great Commission. It's within this vision that we have goals. And like we said last week, our goals are to support the vision. They're to help us in our faithfulness and our effectiveness to the vision, just helping us walk rightly. And so our goal for this year is this, is the goal of 2016, is to have you better equipped to use your God-given gifts to do the work of ministry here at Alberta Baptist Church by leading people to know God, find community, and live on mission. This week, we want to show you that this goal is biblical. And so for that, I ask you to, as you're there in Ephesians chapter 4, for you to look with me at verse 11 and verse 12. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. This is something that we need to understand for us to be able to grow as a church and as a body, for us to grow to be a faithful servant of Christ Jesus. Ephesians 4, verse 11 and 12. The word of God says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Now, we're not going to go into great detail at all about verse 11, but I do want to point out to you this is important for me particularly, and for Keith particularly, because we are certainly a part of verse 11. We are shepherds. And God has called us to shepherd this church body, to pastor this church body. And what I'm told I'm supposed to do as a pastor is for me to be obedient to Christ, it will be that I equip you, for Keith to equip you to do what? To do the work of ministry. That's what we're called to do. And so it's very important that from our end that we start in obedience so that we can walk in obedience. Does that make sense? And so we've got to equip you to do the work of ministry. And so the goal of 2016 is to have you better equipped. That means to prepare you, to teach you, to motivate you, to empower you, to have you using your God-given gifts to do the work of ministry here. That's what we want to see happen. And if I seem super repetitive, that's on purpose. I actually wrote it down. Like we want to communicate what we want to see repeated. We want to continue to do it, continue to say it so that we walk in these ways. But before we talk any more about what we are to do as a church, we must talk about who we are as a people. So before we go any further about what we are to do, let's talk about who we are. Before we talk about any more, before I say anything else, that as an individual you are trying to consider, what am I to do next? I want you to consider who you are right now. And so if you will, open up your outline, and I want to walk you through three gospel reminders to help when setting goals for gospel ministry. The reason why this is so important is this, is the primary task that we have is going to be for us in what we do. It will be primarily about helping other people to understand, be encouraged, or remember who they are in Christ, or I'll give you the mission aspect of this, who they can be in Christ, who God desires them to be in Christ. Three gospel reminders to help when setting goals. When you read Ephesians 4, verse 12, you see something. We're to equip the who? The saints for the work of ministry. The word saints, it means holy one or set apart one, consecrated one. And what I'll give you the simple Colby definition of it. When we see saint, we see that we are set apart for someone and we are set apart for something. So we're set apart for someone. We are connected now to someone. He set us apart as his people. But now he also has set us apart for a particular purpose, for us to do something as his people. And so the word saint is very important for us, but when we say saint, we're referring to people who are in Christ Jesus. So if you have never believed on Christ Jesus today, this part right here is not directly given to you because you're not in Christ. So the promises that come for those in Christ, they're not for you right now. It's a free gift by believing. I want to read for you several scriptures, and hopefully this will make clear what I mean by in Christ. Romans 3, verse 23 says this, "For there's no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." It means I'm a sinner who's infinitely offended God. I'm a person that with my life I've tried to live apart from him, outside of him, without him. And because of that, I have offended him. I've sinned. I've tried to live outside of God's heart for my life. And I now realize I'm in desperate need of God to extend mercy and grace to me for me to have any hope in my life. Well, the word of God gives us hope, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're all in the same camp. But verse 24 says, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. And so for everyone in the room today, understand this. If you are not in Christ, to be in Christ, it is by placing your faith in his death on your behalf. The word propitiation means the satisfier of wrath. That Jesus Christ on the cross, he satisfied the wrath of God for all who believe and will receive him. And so instead of receiving wrath, you now receive favor and you're welcomed into the family of God. That's what I mean by in Christ. So if that's you today, I've got three gospel reminders for you. And so look with me at your outline. The first one is this, is that all saints in Christ are servants of Christ. All saints in Christ are servants of Christ. And so I want you to do something kind of strange, but I think it's okay to do this. I want you to look to your neighbor. And if you don't have a neighbor, Jennifer, you just look to me, okay? I just want you to look to your neighbor. I want you to tell them this. And this is if you're in Christ. I want you to say this, I am a servant of Christ. Do that right now. I heard you, Jennifer. Good. I am a servant of Christ. Listen, when you say that, let you know what you're saying. That Christ is my master. I'm saying that Christ is my master. That I work and I live for him. That's what we're saying. If you're a saint today, you're set apart. And part of that being set apart is this, that Jesus Christ is your master. He rules and he reigns over your life. Secondly, I want you to see this truth. All saints in Christ are secure in Christ. Some of you may have walked out last week scared to death. I don't know. Last week was a big deal. It was about that what we do with our God-given gifts is eternally significant for our lives. So you may have walked out last week and said, but man, how can I know? How can I know if I haven't buried my life in the ground? What if I've done just like that man that we looked at from Matthew 25? How can I know if I'm safe? How can I know if I'm secure? How can I know? Listen. If you've placed your faith in Christ Jesus, you're secure. You're secure. There is no more, let me say it rightly, there is therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. If you are in Christ, you are a saint. And if you're a saint, you are secure in Christ. I want you to look back to that neighbor and say, I am secure in Christ. Listen, when we say that, let me explain what we mean. Christ is my protector. I am safe in him. I'm safe in him. If you're in Christ today, you're secure. And if you're in Christ today, you're a servant. Last truth before we move on. All saints in Christ are sons with Christ. Man, this is good. This is when I place my faith in Christ Jesus, what that meant for me is I am now welcomed into the family of God. I'm adopted into the family of God and biblically as a son. Okay. And so girls, that's not offensive. I'm a bride of Christ and you're a son of God. Okay. That's just part of what it is. Listen, it's not offensive. We are a son because we are part of now. We're connected directly to Jesus Christ. We are firstborn status. You're a son, whether you're a daughter or not, okay? And so we are a son with Christ. I want you to look to your neighbor one more time. I want you to say that. I am a son with Christ. Praise the Lord. Listen, when I say that, I am declaring Christ is my family and God is my father. God is my father. Now, before he is judged, God is my father. He is my father. He loves me. He cares for me. He directs me. There's grace for me, mercy for me, compassion for me. I am deeply loved and cared for by God. I know that because of what Christ has done. Look with me at the two truths underneath that. I want you to understand that there will often be, even as we weigh out those three truths, and there's many more that go along with being in Christ, but there will often be tension between being at rest in Christ and being restless for Christ's kingdom. Let me say that again so that I sound better on the recording than I did just then. Here we go. There will often be tension between being at rest in Christ and restless for Christ's kingdom. Secondly, there will often be tension between our comfort in Christ and the conviction that comes with obedience to Christ's call. So if you left last week struggling a bit, that's probably healthy. You should be wrestling. There should be tension between, in a sense, am I being responsible with what I've been given? Am I taking the responsibilities and opportunities and doing what I can to make Christ known, to bring glory to his name, to bring good to others? There should be tension between that and also knowing I can rest in Jesus. He's my hope, my comfort, my joy. I'm safe in him. I'm secure in him. God's my father. But also I'm his servant. I'm a set apart saint. I'm set apart to do what? To be someone oh, I'm his. But also to do something to bring great glory to the name of God and good for his people. You see? There should be tension there. And so with those truths and with that tension being known, let's move into the final part of our vision message for this year. And of course, we'll communicate it throughout the year. But we want to ask the question, what do we need to know today to be better equipped tomorrow? Okay, so let me pray for us. Father, I ask that you would guide this time, that you would use it well, that the words that I say would count for you, that they would be used as a tool for you to raise up life and encourage people to walk in your ways. And in doing that, Lord, we know they're going to be so satisfied in you, blessed by you, and make a difference for your kingdom. So God, I pray that you'd use this time. Lord, I pray for your glory that you make Alberta Baptist great. I pray that people would look here and say, man, God is moving there. God is good. God is so wonderful because look at what he's doing with his people. God, would you do something great here at Alberta Baptist Church, something that will last for all of eternity? We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right, so what you need to know to be better equipped for tomorrow, I'm going to give you just three sections, and you see those in your outline. It will help to follow along. Certainly take notes. I think that's helpful. And also, you know, for the next couple weeks, especially when it's fresh on your heart, comment to me about what we talk about. Find me in the hallway, email me, call, whatever. I want to talk to you about this, okay? I want to talk to you about this. But first, let's start with looking at church membership and my God-given gifts. Church membership and my God-given gifts. And when we talk about church membership, oftentimes I think people misunderstand what we mean, or they start thinking about things that the Bible is not talking about. When we talk about church membership, we're saying this, that when I believed in Christ, I became a member of his body. That's what we mean by membership. I'm a member. Now, you can join the membership of Alberta Baptist Church, and that is Christ's body here at Alberta Baptist Church. But we mean also something bigger, and it's that we are part of the body of Christ. Christ is the head. We are the body. I want to read for you several passages about this as we consider the body of Christ. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're not going to read all of this, but we'll read some of it. Starting in verse 12. The word of God says, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? This is supposed to be funny. If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged, listen, church, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. This is so important. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. That means, verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. And we need to hear that, don't we? Nor again the head to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be the weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable body parts are treated with the greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may be have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. This is just the Lord giving us a picture. Like, we're a body. Like, Christ is the head and we're the body. All of us represent a different part of Christ's body. We learn here that all of us are useful to the body. We're useful parts. There's not one part of your body that you're like, well, you know, that's not that important. Right now, I've got a kidney stone, and I feel like that kidney doesn't, I don't need it right now. I feel like I wish it wasn't there. But there are every part of our body, even if they hurt sometimes, okay, they're needed. They're necessary for us. They're for our good. If you break your ankle, you know that your ankle really mattered. If you break your pinky finger, you realize, oh man, that was actually a really important part of my hand. Okay. Like the body matters. All of the parts matter and they need to be functioning with their intended purpose. Okay. And so what we need to see first is this, is that we are, if you're in Christ, you are part of Christ's body and you're needed. Okay. Now listen, God is not served by human hands. I want to be clear by that. Like, he doesn't need us, but he set up his kingdom such that he uses us. Okay. And he uses us. So he's not served by human hands, but God serves others with human hands. Okay. So in a very real sense, you're needed. And in the body, you have a function and you need to be functioning in that part. You with me so far? Okay. Let's keep going. Let's read Romans 12, verse 3. For by the grace given to me, and I think we can get this on the screen too, by the way. Romans 12, verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Verse 4, here it is. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. You see it? All right. Now here's where we need to move on. So far we understand, yes, we're all supposed to be members of the body if we're in Christ Jesus. We may not be aware of what that is, if I'm an eye or if I'm a toe or if I'm whatever I am at this moment, but I understand I'm supposed to be part of the body. All right. Now here's the next part. We need to see the body of Christ, but in line with God's, the God-given gifts that we have, okay? And so this next part, let's read verse 6 of Romans 12. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. And so now we're opened up to this idea, okay, the Lord sets up his body and he places us with gifts that he has given to us that we are to use within the body, okay? And so what the body looks like, in part, is going to be designed by the gifts that we are given and the way that we use them in the church, okay? Now let's keep going. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 and 11. Once again, I think this is on the screen as well. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it. Why? Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. So we've considered the body of Christ, that we are in Christ. We're one body. Christ is the head. Now let's consider our God-given gifts. Okay. We started here last week. We saw what we're going to see first on your bullet point there, the natural gifts. Okay. So I want us to consider two types of gifts and one thought about gifts. The First one is this. The first type is natural gifts. And this is exactly what we were talking about last week. These are the responsibilities and the opportunities that God gives to you. To each one of us, we have these. Whether we see them as good or not, we have these responsibilities and opportunities. So these are anything. This is our job that we have. This is our family that we were born into and that we have now. These are our friends. These are people that we come in contact with. These are our passions. This is what we love to do, what we're good at. These are our hobbies. These are our abilities. These are all of those things that we have that we do, okay? And in Christ Jesus, I want you to see something. I didn't say this last week. I held it back for today. In Christ Jesus, and only in Christ Jesus, are our natural gifts realized. The importance of them are the reality of their usefulness is realized. I realize now, oh, I can use this gift for something greater than myself. I can use this gift to actually bring glory to God, to do good for his people. I can use this gift for a purpose. And I start seeing that there's reason for this, to have my responsibilities and opportunities more rightly realized in Christ. And so when we consider our God-given gifts in light of the body, we need to say, okay, how am I taking what I do, what I like, what I'm good at, how am I using that to serve the church body? I think this is a great point because there are a lot of you that you are, man, you have gifts and there are all kinds of things that you're good at and you love doing, but we don't even know about them here. And it's because for some reason you think they don't matter here. And if we have served you in leading you to where that's the case, I'm sorry. And we want to change, okay? It's 2016, new year, forgive us, okay? We want to change. But what we want to see happen is that you see that what you love to do and what Christ has called you to, those things can mesh together, okay? And so the natural gifts that you have, we want to ask you here in this church body to bring them to the table. I'll give you an example of how this can work. Katie Habriel, I don't know where she is right at this moment, but she's in the room somewhere. There she is, I see her. Okay, Katie Habriel, she enjoys running, okay? I don't understand that. I don't like running myself, but she enjoys running. How many of you enjoy to run? Really, raise your hand. Raise them high. Come on now. Wow, six of you. Awesome. We're a healthy group. All right. So, okay, that's a terrible example. Sorry, Katie. We'll move. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, Katie, she enjoys running with the other four or five of you. And here's what she's decided to do with running. She said, I want to take my enjoyment of running and I want to use it to help people know God, find community, and live on mission. So what is Katie doing? She has created a running life group. They're going to meet on Tuesdays at 4 or 5. I can't really remember what it is. We'll get that clear. But they're going to meet at the Riverwalk. They're going to run together, and it's going to be a place where you can be have biblical accountability, prayer. It's a fun environment, and you can have intentional discipleship or be taught how to know God, find community, and live on mission. Be encouraged. That's great. She took her hobby, and she's going to use it. It's something she enjoys doing. Some of you probably love to like sew. I've said this like every time I've talked about this, but I believe there is a sister in the house that loves to sew, and there's a bunch of other sisters who don't know how to sew, and they want to learn how to sew, okay? And so I think there might be a brother. I don't know, but listen, you can take that gift that you have of sewing, and you can say, man, does anybody really care? And I'm telling you, yes, they do. You can use that to help people come together, to encourage them in Scripture, to pray for them. You can help it be a fun environment, a learning environment, and help them know God, find community, and live on mission. You can use the things you like to do to actually be a part of something greater than that activity in itself. Okay, we want to help you do that. We also want to help you see your job as it matters. We're glad you have jobs. We're glad you work. And they're important to society. They're important to our culture. And listen, God is pleased when you give it your best. God wants you to work hard. God wants you to give glory to him and work to him. And so we want you to see your natural gifts matter. But there's a second kind of gifts we didn't talk about last week, and those are spiritual gifts. These are gifts that God gives us directly, gives directly to us in His Spirit. So when God, when we believe by faith in Christ Jesus, it's a mystery and it's wonderful, but God's Spirit actually dwells in His people. Now, His Spirit is Him. This is God Himself in us, okay? God's Spirit lives in God's people, okay? And what His Spirit does is He is able to manifest power and grace, mercy, compassion through us. And so God, the Spirit, raises up gifts in us. And so this may be, the Word of God tells us, this can be wisdom that we receive. This can be the ability to teach and to lead people, to be a prophet. When we say prophet, I mean to be able to take God's prophesied word, His given word, and communicate it to others. This can be many different things, but God specially gifts us by His Spirit. And sometimes the gifts of the Spirit go directly in line with what we used to know as our natural gifts. And so, for instance, you were a person who loved to help people. Now that you have been redeemed in Christ Jesus, you understand that I want to serve. I serve as I've been served. I always liked people, but I didn't realize how fun it was to welcome people as I've been welcomed by Christ. Do you understand? And so it's partly your gifts are more realized, and there's also things that God just specifically gives you in Christ that you don't have naturally. These are things that you have only by God's power in your life, spiritual gifts. We're going to be talking about spiritual gifts on Wednesday nights for the month of February, and specifically in line with how those spiritual gifts, what they help us do in molding in and being a part of serving the church body. So I invite you to come to that. It'll be 6 o'clock on Wednesday nights. But we see natural gifts and spiritual gifts. I want to talk to you real quick, though, about seasonal gifts. And this is something, you won't find that phrase in Scripture. This is something that I have phrased, but I believe it makes very much sense biblically. And it's this, is that not all gifts that you had and not all responsibilities and opportunities that you had 20 years ago do you still have today. And in fact, I believe that the work of God's Spirit in you, that He produces at times different gifts for different seasons. And so I know this because it's possible that at one point you were a phenomenal teacher, you were a phenomenal servant in this particular way, or you did a particular thing, and then now you don't feel like you have the ability to still do that same thing. I want you to know that doesn't mean you're not useful in the body of Christ. That means that in this season of your life, there's a different gift that God has given to you. There's different responsibilities and opportunities that God's given you. And you're to use those today as you use those other ones back then. I think it also can be for someone who's had a big change of life. So maybe it's a change of zip code. So let's say you used to live in one city and now you've moved here. You lived in one state and now you've moved here. And where you were, maybe you were very connected in your church there. Maybe there was a ministry where somebody really invested deeply in you. And maybe you felt like at that point your gifts were more known about and recognized and celebrated. And then here they're not as much. Or maybe it was one time you were using your gifts this way and then now you don't feel like you're using them. I want to say to you this. Part of it is we may not know your gifts. The other part is this, maybe here God has different purposes for you, but His purpose for you is that you would use your God-given gifts in His body to build it up. All right, we've only got a few more minutes, and so we got to move quick. So let's consider how we're currently using our gifts in the body of Christ. And so maybe with this statement, I hope this makes sense. See, not what I can get at church, but what I can give. Start seeing what can I give. So let's look now at the church ministry and my God-given gifts. Church ministry and my God-given gifts. Francis Chan, he's an author and pastor. He said that the mission of the church or the purpose of the church is this. He said, displaying the gospel is the point of the church. The church exists to put God's attributes on display. We can talk about the forgiveness of Christ, but in the church, we demonstrate the forgiveness of Christ. Christ washed the disciples' feet, and then he turned to them and told them to do the same. We are to imitate the actions of Jesus. And listen to what he says, so that the world can see him. I love that. And I want you to see that, church ministry, when we talk about the work of ministry, it is primarily about, and you'll see A there, it's primarily about bringing glory to God and building up the body as we serve and love one another. This is so important. In the New Testament, there are 59 one another commands. Okay, I'm going to say it again. In the New Testament, there are 59 times where we are commanded to do something for one another. Okay? I'm going to read you some of those. We're called to love one another. In fact, Jesus said this would be the way we would be known, by the way we love one another. We're to love one another. We're to bear one another's burdens. We're to welcome one another. We're to live in harmony with one another. We're to confess our sins to one another, that we might be healed. That's a big deal. We're to spur on one another to love and good works. 59 one another commands, none of which you can do by yourself. 59 one another commands, none of which you can be obedient to God alone. You hear me? This is huge. The primary point of church ministry is actually one anothering. It's how we love one another, serve one another. It's how we partner with one another to encourage and to empower and to speak truth into the life of another individual. This means that this room is not the primary place that you can be obedient to those 59 commands. Now, this room is important. In fact, I believe it's vital. Corporate worship is so important for the church. I love corporate worship. I love to gather together. But it is not the primary place that we can do anything for one another. And for a lot of you, it's not the primary place that you even talk to people or meet people. In fact, some of you, you're so quick in and out that we don't even see you. So, I mean, like, it's impressive how quick you are. I think you figured out how to teleport. Like, it's impressive. I'll try to get back to you and you're gone. But here's what I've noticed. Listen, across this room, there are really a large portion of you that you're here, but you're not connected into any part of the church body. So you're here in a seat on Sunday morning, and I'm glad you're here. Thank you for being here. Seriously. I hope you feel so welcome and loved and cared for. I hope that you are learning and that you are experiencing the worship of God as you watch brothers and sisters praise the Lord. I hope this is good for you, but I want you to know, for you to be obedient to the Lord, you got to be connected into his people. You got to be a part of his people. And so what I want to lead you to is this, and for time purposes, I'm going to go ahead and start moving there. But I want you to see there's a card that's on the inside of your worship guide. And on this worship guide, I want you to see really several places of emphasis, really just four. But we want to give you an opportunity not just to hear things that you need to do, but give you an opportunity to see how you might do those things, how you might connect, how you might get greater assistance on being connected in. And so this is going to go directly to our staff, and we are going to personally go through these cards. And so what I want you to see is I want to sign up, number one there, I want to sign up for ABC Connect class. ABC Connect class is our version of a membership class. But what this is for anybody who is interested in how to, at Alberta Baptist Church, get connected in. How to know God, find community, and live on mission here. That's what that class is. It's only 6 weeks, and you can see there. It's from January 31st to March 6th. I'm going to teach it. It's going to be on the hallway. Okay? I think room 226. And what I want to do is say, look, if you're interested in membership, if you're considering plugging in here, if you're considering becoming a Christian, if you're dealing with theological points and stuff like that, this is still a good place for you. If you've been a member here for years and years, but you're confused on how to use your gifts to serve anymore, this might be a great class for you. It might be a good 6 weeks for you to take outside of the class that you're currently in. So ABC Connect class, if you want to join that class, please sign up for it right here. It helps me so much know how to better serve you. And so if you want to be a part of ABC Connect, check that. I want to become part of a Sunday school class. Maybe you are here and you're not part of a Sunday school class. Maybe you're like, Colby, it's hard to get here at 10:45. I'm going to encourage you. Make it hard to get here at 9:30. Okay, so like just get up a little earlier and get here. Get connected to a Sunday school class. We have so many great classes and different for different age groups. Some are multi-generational. Some are women only. Some are men only. Well, if there's a need for it, we'll create a new one. Okay? But we want you to become part of a Sunday school class. I want you to become part of a life group. This year, we're going to double digits with life groups. I'm pumped. We're going to have 10 life groups starting off. And every time we have added new groups, they have done so well. And I'm just thrilled at this. Okay, and you'll see there's a couple of signs in the hallway. Life groups start back January 31st, and they'll go for 13 weeks. Okay, they're 13 weeks. They're in semesters. If you want to be part of a life group, what that's going to do for you is it's going to give you a place to one another. Okay, it's going to give you a place where you can have biblical accountability, where people can speak truth to you. It's going to give you a place where prayer is had, where you can have people praying for you. You can pray for others. It can give you a place that's fun. It's a fun environment. And also a place where you can learn how you can know God, find community, and live on mission. These are great. They don't have to just be in houses. Katie's doing a running life group. Okay? I love that. They don't have to be any specific age, or they can be as multi-generational as you want. They can be whatever. You tell me what need you see in this church body, and I bet we can start a life group. Okay, that's my phone telling me that I need to be done. Hush, okay, no, you're not the Holy Spirit phone. Okay, so what I want to do is, yeah, if I want to become part of a life group, sign up. Okay, check here. We'll get in contact with you and help you walk you through that. I need help knowing how to use my gifts to serve here. It's possible that you're saying that. Now, listen, I hope you are. That means the Lord's working on your heart. If you're saying, I don't know, I've been here for a long time. I've tried to get connected, but I just couldn't. Please try again. Please try again. Listen, remember, not just what we get, though we do care about providing wonderful ministry for you. It's also what you can give. It's also what you give. Okay? We want you to try again. Try again. Let us help you. Let us walk beside you and help love you enough to say you're needed here at this body. We want you to be needed and we want you to be known. We want people to know what's up with you, what gifts you have, what talents you have, what the Lord's doing in your life, and use those to serve. I promise. If you're in Christ, you're needed here in this body. If you're not in Christ, we want you to come to Him today. I want you to see church ministry is primarily about loving and serving one another, using our gifts to serve each other. And that doesn't mean there's not wonderful other ministries. Like we think of youth ministry, children's ministry, our Golden Hearts ministry. We think of our college ministry. We think of all these different ministries. Those are all wonderful. But listen, all of the ministries, life group, Sunday school, they're all there. They're all part of a structure that is to enable a mission to take place. They're not the mission itself. They're not the goal itself. They're there to support a goal. They're there to facilitate a ministry of the Lord. They're to provide opportunity. They're not the thing itself. God's the thing itself. And so what we want to do is we want to have you serve in the best ways and where you're in a place where you are being built up in the body of Christ. I want to read for you as we get ready to close Ephesians chapter 4. And Jennifer, you can go ahead and come up. It says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all obtain. Listen, for building up the body of Christ. That's the purpose. The work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of faith and of knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children who are tossed to and fro by the waves and carried by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Listen, the way that we build ourselves, the way that we are building the church, that we're building up the body, is by us loving and serving one another. It's by helping encourage each other to be who we will finally be in Christ Jesus, to press each other to mature manhood in Christ, that we're more like Him, the fullness of Christ. That is our goal. There is so much more that I want to say, but for today, I'm going to trust the Lord with what we have given, and just understand all that we have said, it falls in line with a church mission. And it's bigger than anything that happens just in the doors here at this church, but what happens here is a part of something greater, and it's the Great Commission of Jesus to make disciples, not just here, but of all nations. And God wants us to take all of these God-given gifts, all of the gifts that are in this body, and use it for the purpose of the greater ministry, the greater mission that is for people who don't know God, who are not living in community and have not found purpose. They're not living on mission. We want them to come into the grip of those realities and live for Him all around the world. So bring your gifts to the table here and help us know how to do that, how to help you, and how to pour into you by writing on those cards. So while we sing, that's a great time for you to respond there.